Congregation of our Lord, what does baptism do? What did it do to Gabriel this morning? A few weeks ago, as I mentioned, we've been looking at baptism, and there we were reminded that baptism doesn't save, it doesn't wash away sins, as if it's some sort of a magical formula, as if it's some sort of water that is somehow magical in some sort of way, that it suddenly washes away the sins of our children or ourselves if we were baptized when we were older. Ultimately, baptism isn't about some nostalgic event. Baptism isn't about something that is that has anything to do with you and me. Baptism is primarily about Jesus Christ. And it's primarily about what he says about, in this instance, Gabriel, or anyone that is baptized. What is it that Jesus Christ, what is it that he says about you and me, and what he says about our children? Because what baptism does is it points us again to the cross of Jesus Christ, and it reminds us that, as I mentioned a bit earlier on, it reminds us that we're sinners. And it reminds us that we need hearts cleansed. We need our hearts, as it were, fixed, washed clean. And it reminds us that you and I can't do it. We're hopeless in this endeavor to fix ourselves that we so often try to do. We need Jesus Christ, and we need his work on the cross, and we need him and his work to cleanse us from our sin and to make us right with him. And so our hope is not in the water. Our hope is not in the one administering it. Our hope is not even in the parents of the children. Our hope for Gabriel, the hope for all of us here, the hope for the world is in the Savior, is in what he has done and not what we have done. And so for my passage, I want to take us a little further. As I came to the end of the week, it was the middle of the week, and I'd prepared this sermon. I looked back on other sermons I'd done on this spot. I looked back at other sermons, and I realized that I actually preached this for Simon's baptism as well, which was a couple of years ago. And if you can't remember that, that's good, because neither could I. So we're just going to be looking at this again today. So I've 3 points that I want to look at. Firstly, children in the light of their baptism, obedience in the light of their baptism, and then finally parenting in the light of their baptism. So children, this is for you. It's very much for you as well as for everybody. Who am I? What does God think about me? Is what you can ask yourself. What does God think about me? How does God look at me? Well, this book of Ephesians, if you turn a page back and go to Ephesians chapter 1, this book is written, you might have guessed, to the Ephesians, right? Paul wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He wrote it to the church in Ephesus. And look at what it says in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. So to the saints in Ephesus, I'm writing you this book. And the first part of the book is all about who we are. As we've seen already, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We've got a sin problem, and we can't get ourselves out of it. But we have a Savior who gets us out of it, who redeems us, who saves us. And then the second part of the book is about, okay, so if this is true, how do we then live? What are we supposed to do with this truth? If Jesus has saved us from our sin, and if he's made us right, if he's made us alive, and he's brought us to God, now, in the light of that, how do we live? What do we do? And so the Apostle Paul, through the Apostle Paul, he gives instructions singling out different groups of saints in the church. So if you look at chapter 5, you have wives and husbands. Chapter 6, children. Later on in chapter 6, slaves and masters, all different people in the life of the church. Now, we could get into slaves and masters, but we'll leave that for another time, what that's all about. But the idea there is really this: there are households that come into church, because no doubt these books were read, these letters, I should say, were read as part of the preaching of the church. And whole households would come into the church, and so God is speaking to all these individual different people within the household. You may remember when the Apostle Paul went on missionary journeys, and he would go from one city to another, and we get to Philippi, and there Lydia is saved. You may recall Lydia. And then there's Lydia and her whole household are baptized. They're added to the church. There's a Philippian jailer in his household. We know later on in Corinth, the household of Stephanas. We don't know who he was, but one of the households, or one of the men of a household in a church in Corinth. And Paul says there are others that he had possibly baptized as well, other households that he's possibly baptized, but he can't remember. And so there are whole households that have come and become part of the church of Christ. And as they're in this church, God addresses them. And he addresses the children in the church. And so, children, God expects you to be here. He wants you to be here and to hear and to listen. And sometimes it's hard to listen. And sometimes we only pick up a few things, maybe. But it's good. It's good that you can be here. Children are part of the community, part of the covenant community. God in the Old Testament made a relationship with Abraham and his children, with believing parents and their children. And so today also, in the New Testament, God doesn't shrink this relationship. He expands the relationship, not only to you and your children, but to all those who are far off. But the point is, you know, God brings us all here together, children and adults. And so it's almost natural for God to say, "Now, children, listen up. Listen up. I have things to say to you as well. You're part of this church as well." It might seem, children, it might seem that sometimes you're not that important. Or maybe you don't think that. But maybe sometimes you do. You think, you know, there's these adults in the church, big people in the church, they do lots of stuff in the church. Right? They're busy doing this and that, and I can't do anything. But Jesus invites you to be part of his church as well. There's a story that Peter read earlier on. The story about Jesus and the children. And the disciples say, "Well, no. Jesus is a bit too busy for little children. I mean, he's teaching big people. He's teaching adults, not little children." But Jesus says, "Do not hinder them." Or he says, "To such is the kingdom of God." Now, firstly, Jesus is, of course, saying people that are humble, people that are childlike in their faith. Because that's what we need to be before God, childlike in our faith. But not just that, although that as well, very important. But children are welcome to Jesus as well. And so if we are to be a church of Jesus Christ, children are welcome to him and welcome in this church. And it's a great blessing to have children as part of this church. You know, over the years, I realize as I look around, there's quite a few of the children missing. I know one of ours is sick, and no doubt there's a few others as well. But it's a great blessing that, you know, that we have children in the church, and there are sometimes the squeals and the noises of children during worship or afterwards as well. There's always plenty of that. And yes, children are in training, just like you and I were in training once as well, and we're still in training, right? We're still trying to focus and concentrate and sit still. Sometimes that can be hard. And sometimes it takes time to learn. But the point is, children are welcome. You belong here, children. God expects you to be here, and we want you to be here as well. In the days of Paul, when Paul was writing this, this was something quite radical and quite different. I don't have time to go into all of that, but children were often seen as a bit of a nuisance. In those days, of course, children were abandoned. if they weren't quite up to scratch. Maybe they wanted a boy and they got a girl, or maybe they wanted a girl and got a boy. And they would abandon these children, leave them out, and they would die, or they were deformed in some sort of way, and they would either kill them or that children were often seen as a nuisance. But sometimes today we have the same thing, you see, because children, our lives become very piecemeal because children belong maybe in daycare, in school, and in sports. And as adults, we're busy with our work and our work functions and our recreation. And we have all these different things that we do, and we hardly meet one another. Now, I'm not saying any of these things in and of themselves are bad or wrong, but we rush past each other, and we struggle to live as families. We struggle to know one another, especially as our children grow up, to know what is going on in their lives. And sometimes we do this in the church as well. You know, their children, they're over there. We give them catechism classes, and we do that and that with them. And we kind of, as it were, push them to the fringes. And it's good. We need these things. Catechism and youth group and all these things are wonderful things. But we're part of one church community, young and old. Doesn't matter where you are, children, you're part of this church community as well. So children, when you're part of this church community, I want this to be not only mum and dad's church, but your church. I want it to be not just, I shouldn't say I want it to be, God wants this to be not just mum and dad's faith, but your faith. He wants you to know him as well and follow him, just as your mum and dad do. So that, firstly, children, in the light of your baptism. But secondly, and children, this is for you too. It's for all of us, actually, but it's for you too. So don't zone out on me. Stick with me. Obedience in the light of your baptism. So you can be part of this community. You can be part of this church. Now, what do you need to do? Well, our passage says, children, what does it say? Children, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. God has called you to be his treasured possession. Now, how are you supposed to live in the light of that? I was trying to think of an illustration. But you know, sometimes, many of you have Lego that you play with, and you build houses and you build cars with them. You keep them inside, right in your room maybe, or in some box that you have somewhere. You might also have coloring in pencils. You use your pencils to color in things or to write things on paper, hopefully, not on the wall, on paper. And you have maybe some sandpit toys. They stay outside. Well, at least they're played with outside in the sandpit. You don't take your Lego blocks and bring them into the sandpit. Sometimes we do, and it's not great, is it? Because we have lots of, we get the sand everywhere, right? So we keep them inside. We keep them in your room or wherever, whatever place you have in the house for them. You don't take your coloring in pencils and try and build a car out of them. Doesn't work. You don't take your outside sandpit toys into the lounge, unless they're clean and tidy maybe, but you don't really take them into the lounge because it makes a mess in the lounge. You see, different toys are for different things in different places, and so it is in our lives. Well, so it is for the Christian. If God has made us his possession, we need to live a certain way. We don't live like other people live. We live in a way that is right and good for us. If God says, you are my children, you are my people, he wants you to live in a certain way. And so he gives children, he gives you one command, which is very, very important. Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother. Whenever we read the Ten Commandments, we read that, don't we? Honor your father and your mother. It's a basic command. Now, to obey and to honor, well, obey. Maybe I'll stick with obey for now. To obey means to put yourself under. So mom and dad say something and you place yourself under that as you listen to them. Not, you don't place yourself over what mom and dad say, but under what mom and dad say. There's a story of Jesus when he was about 12 years old. When Jesus was 12 years old, he went to the temple with his parents. And he went to the temple, and there in the temple, you remember, Jesus' parents lost him. They went home. They thought Jesus must be with the rest of the crowd, but he wasn't. And so they had to go back. His parents had to go back and try and find him. It took them 3 days to find him, but finally they found him in the temple. And Mary, his mother, said to him, where have you been? Well, not where have you been. We were looking for you. And Jesus says, why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my Father's house? Remember what he'd been doing? He'd been sitting with the very important people, the theologians and the people that knew the Bible really well. And he'd been asking them questions, and they'd been asking him questions. And they were impressed with what he knew. He was 12 years old, and they were impressed with what he knew. And he could do that because he was the Son of God, remember? But after Mary said, we've been looking for you, and he said, you knew that I, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? It says, he went home and was submissive to them. That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus was having this discussion, learned discussion with these very important, well-learned people. And yet, he was submissive to his parents. He had more wisdom than Mary or Joseph. And yet he was submissive to them. And so we also, children, need to be submissive to our parents. And Jesus gives a special promise when we are. Honor your father and mother. Sorry, obey and honor. This is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a long life, you're going to get really old, and you're going to have lots of money. It's not what it means. I mean, that might be the case, but it's not what it means. It means that you will receive God's blessing in your life. And that means God's blessing in your life. That means you will experience peace. So you'll go to bed at night, and you'll realize your life is good. Or you'll experience joy because you'll be happy. You know God has blessed you with good things. You'll be happy. You'll have joy. You'll have love. You'll experience love. You'll experience love because, you know, all your friends might leave you. But you know that God loves you. These are the blessings of God, that it may go well with you. You may live a long life in the land. God wants it to go well with you. Isn't it true? When you're disobedient, children, when you're disobedient, things don't go that well, do they? When you're angry at mum or dad or you're just disobedient, you don't have peace and you don't have joy. You're not happy. It doesn't go well. You don't feel the love. And when that happens, you can go to God and you can ask him to forgive you. You can confess your sin to God. And when you confess your sin, God says he is faithful. He will forgive you your sins. And you can live in a way that honors him. So this is one of the most important commandments to live by, children. It's also the hardest one, right? It's easy. You know what it is. But it's very hard to live by. Remember, God says you are mine. And I'll give you the power to live that way. Okay, so we've seen, children, we've seen that you're part of the church community. We've seen that you're called to live in obedience. And finally, a word for parents, parenting in the light of your baptism. I wonder if parents, you know, maybe you've been parenting, maybe you are parents, or maybe you're looking forward to parenting, Josh and Yoshi. You'll find out pretty soon It's a struggle to be a parent, right? It's hard work. It's hard work being a parent. Because you'll find in your life all kinds of things that come out that you never even knew were there. This week, I had to confess my sins to my kids. I was angry again. And isn't it amazing, you know, like we try and deal with certain sins in our children and we realize we're doing exactly the same thing. You know, why are you getting so angry? I'm angry myself. And even in our adult children, we look at our adult children, don't we? And we watch the mistakes they make and we watch the sins they make and we see so much of ourselves in them. Because we realize we're really not that far away from that either. It's depressing. And again, this morning, as we've seen and experienced the baptism of Gabriel, there is tremendous news. Tremendous news. We have a Savior who washes us from sin. All those things that we shouldn't have done that we did do this week, all those things that we should have done that we didn't do, He takes it all. And He becomes that sin for us. Our only hope is in the blood of Jesus. Do you believe this? Because as parents, as anybody, we need to believe this. We need to believe this. You know, probably in parenting more than any other area of my life, maybe in our marriages, this is the same a little bit as well. But our sins, as I mentioned, our sins come to the fore. Somehow our children have this incredible ability to expose our sins. They don't actually do that, but our sins come out, right, as we deal with our children. Our sins come out in our marriages and our relationships as well. And on this occasion, again, in our baptism, the Lord has said, I've given you a gift to remind you that I'm the one who deals with sin. Fathers, it says, do not provoke your children to anger. And how often don't we do that? Inconsistent in our parenting. We parent out of anger, I already mentioned that. We parent out of pride. How often aren't we pride? We parent out of self-centeredness. This is what I want. And what do we do with that? We go again to the throne of grace. Because there is where we find mercy to help us in our time of need. There is where we find mercy for our sins, to forgive us our sins. And so you realize, don't you, that this is our sin, provoking our children to anger in whatever kind of way. But it reminds us that just as well, it is the Lord who brings our children into covenant relationship with Him. Because if it was up to our parenting, our children wouldn't stand a chance, right? Because of our sin. Our children wouldn't stand a chance. It's up to God. God has brought them into fellowship with Him. But as we do bring them up, beloved, as we do bring up our children, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If you've been part of this church for a while, you probably know what I'm going to say, but I'll say it again anyway. Every day, we point our children to the Savior. Every day our children need to see Him and need to hear about Him again and again and again. You know, it's so easy in our parenting, and please don't ever think that I've got my parenting right. Because every day in our parenting, you as well as I, we just tell our kids to stop it. Won't you just stop it? You know, and you better stop it or else. I mean, how many of us, well, I won't ask. No show of hands, but how many of us haven't done that? Or else? And if we ratchet up the threats, you know, sometimes it works. Well, it works for a little while anyway. But we forget that the law and threats have no power to save our children. The law and threats don't change the hearts of our children. Christ does. And so they need to see Him. We need to be cleansed. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner as well when we go and speak with our children. Remind them that you're a sinner as well. We're sinners that need cleansing. We need salvation from our sins. But Jesus is our wonderful Savior. He is the one that forgives. He is the one that takes your sin. And He is the one that can give you the power and the strength to overcome your sin. Live for God by calling on Him and His help. And so, this morning, in the baptism of Gabriel, we're reminded, children, you're reminded that you're part of this covenant community. You're part of this covenant community, not because of what I say, but because of what God says. He wants you to be here. But when you know that He wants you to be here, He wants you as well to live in a way that reflects Him. Live in a way that shows that you are the children of God by honoring and obeying your parents. And then as parents, let us bring up our children in gospel ways. Ways that remind them of their baptism. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, how we need your grace to do this as parents, to bring up our children in the right ways. Lord, grant each parent here to point their children to Christ. Lord, as adults, for our adult children as well, would you give us the grace as well? And as we view their lives and as we struggle at times when we see things going on in their lives, would you help us as well to point them also to the Savior? And then, dear Father, as well, we pray for each of the children here. Again, we pray that they might know you, that they might know that they are part of this community. Would you grant them to know you as their Lord and Jesus Christ as their Savior? And would you help them, each one, to love and to serve you with their lives as they honor and obey their parents? For all of this, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. We stumble, we fumble, we fall. But you can do all things. So do your work of grace among us and in us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.